Lord Christ, be in my words and in all of our hearts, that the word spoken and the word heard might be in truth your word. Amen. My son was born on Epiphany morning. It made me think a lot about the meaning of this season. Not so much so, mind you, that I considered naming him after a wise man. Melchior and Balthazar just don't roll off the tongue very well. But I have thought a lot about epiphanies, about how we encounter God, how we know when we have, and where we go looking for God, and why. I've read the gospel passages for every week of this season with those questions in mind. Why did those three wise men follow that star across the desert to find a child prophesied by a religion that wasn't even theirs? What was lacking in their lives that would make them do that? Or what did they hope to find there? Why would three Orient kings leave their kingdoms to journey west in search of an infant king of a conquered land? Surely it wasn't just to bring him gifts. They must have had their own deep reasons inside them to make such a pilgrimage. Maybe the wise men realized that all that they had thought about God, all the systems they had devised to know and encounter God in their great wisdom, still left them empty and alone. Maybe they came to a place at the end of learning that said, God is more than I can grasp in my own head, even with all the knowledge I can accumulate. And they set out to find the God manifest in the simple, everyday miracle of a baby. Or maybe, no matter how much these kings tried to run their kingdoms justly and teach their people well, it just seemed like things got worse and worse, and filled with anxiety for a future whose trajectory seemed headed in the wrong direction, they set out to encounter a God who ran his kingdom in a different, almost unfathomable way, in which the power to set things right was held in the expression of the helplessness of a babe who drew out the best in others by his sheer neediness. Maybe rather than gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, what those magi really came to lay at Jesus' feet was their own failings and fragility, their ineptitude and the anxiety it caused. Maybe that's precisely the moment of the epiphany, when they realize that giving up their lofty position and power and need to be wise so that they could bow down to a newborn God was exactly what set them free to know and be known in the world. And it strikes me that when Jesus was calling his disciples and Philip went and told his friend Nathanael that he had met the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael wondered if anything good could come out of Nazareth, much less the anointed one sent by God. But for some reason, he still left his life behind and went to see. Why would he do that? I think he hoped against hope that God could actually come from the desolate dumpster fire of a town he considered Nazareth to be. The no-account place, the spot he had written off as devoid of any goodness. Maybe he hoped that if God could make a man from that place meaningful, God could also make his life account for something. Because let's face it, if Nathanael hadn't become a disciple of Christ, nobody in history would remember him. Maybe his epiphany was meeting a God for whom there was no place beneath his gaze, no life beneath worth, and that meant Nathanael too could matter to God. He left aside his judgment and his disappointment, and he found in its place redemption. What about Simon and Andrew from last week's story, who left their father and their career, the only things they had known and the only security they had, to follow a man who wanted to make them fishers of men? A made-up sounding profession, if anyone ever heard one. What made them willing to follow the Christ they encountered there? Perhaps all they had poured their life into. And make no mistake, they had done it well, and they had been diligent and dutiful at a difficult job. And yet they must have still found it purposeless. But this man offered them a meaningful existence, a chance to change lives, even though no one had ever thought them special before. This God they encountered that day called them by name, knew who they were, and wanted them to help do something that mattered in the world. They could do more than subsist day to day, more than just try to hold the line generation to generation on their small corner of the Sea of Galilee. They could do God's work. They could change lives. And their lives were forever changed by the chance for that purpose. They laid down their drudgery and their disillusionment and cast off their fear of doing something different from anything they had ever known so that they could take up the mantle of meaning. And it was a revelation, an epiphany. Even today's story, because the conversion of St. Paul is, after all, an epiphany story. He met God right there on the road. Why would he change so drastically from the foremost persecutor of the nascent Christian religion to its greatest progenitor? Paul was great at his job as a Pharisee and strong in his conviction, and he dropped it all in a flash. I believe it was because his eyes were opened to a God who could be something more than the vengeful being he had worshipped, the God who sent him to kill all the Christians who blasphemed his name. He discovered God could be a loving and forgiving God, and that love and forgiveness could extend even to Paul. And he so desperately wanted to believe that. He had tried so hard to earn his place, to do all he could, to shove down his humanity, that place in his soul that must have told him it was wrong to hurt others the way he did. He did it all because he thought he had to live up to the standard for holiness and purity. But in that moment, he knew a God whose purity was found in his abundant love. He encountered the voice of God calling directly to him to be different, and he could never go back. He offered up his failed pursuit of perfection because he had met the God whose identity was found in grace and forgiveness. These are our stories, just with different characters. These are the archetypal epiphanies, the ways we all eventually open our eyes and catch a glimpse of the living God. We show up at church bringing our gifts like the wise men to lay at the altar of Jesus. That's the story we want to tell. That's the story we always lead with. But here's the epiphany. We didn't really show up just to offer that. We hope to meet the God we dream of here. We bring all of our worries and insecurities, our broken dreams and unmet hopes, with a desperate desire to find the God we need, but are afraid to even hope for. We bring our anxiety and our disappointments, our purposelessness, and our fear that there may not be quite enough grace for our situation. And we lay them at the feet of Christ. And the great epiphany is that when we are willing to be honest about that, we meet a God who welcomes our honest neediness. This is the season of the church when we are invited to travel to new places, look with fresh eyes to encounter the God we dream of. It tells the wise among us to leave the constructs we have built in our heads for God and meet Him in new and unexpected places for the first time. It lets us bring our anxieties, and I'll be honest with you, as a new parent, I have them in spades, but I'm sure I'm not alone. And to lay them at the feet of Christ, to honestly place them as our gift at the base of the altar, and say we are willing to let them go to believe in the sufficiency of the God we'll meet here. This is the time, and Epiphany always falls at the start of a new year, when our faith calls us to believe again in meeting God in places we thought no good could come from. The mentally unstable homeless man who needs our help. The screaming child in the soft space who needs our love. We are asked to question anew whether God might be doing a new thing in our lives. Whether we might be asked to leave the comfortable place of what we know and follow Christ to where He's calling us, even though it sounds crazy and unfamiliar. This is the time when our patron saint reminds us that to truly encounter God means to be converted every time, from who we like to think of ourselves as to who God created us to be. And it's not easy, but it's always better, because such epiphanies lead to life. This is really what it's all about, why we all show up here. We come with our brokenness, hoping to catch a glimpse of God, hoping that the story might be true. And when we allow ourselves the vulnerability to be open to that encounter, we find that grace is abundant and God is more than we dared to dream. Such epiphanies cost everything. The disciples gave up their old lives. Paul never went back to being a Pharisee. Even the Magi, if you'll remember, had to go home by another way. But the glimpse of God is worth it, because it leads to life. What do you need to be willing to risk to encounter God in this new year? What do we need to let go of so that we might see the glory of God manifest among us? I don't know the answer yet, but I know the stories tell us that the epiphany is always worth it. Amen.